All right. Good evening and welcome to our live streamed PM service. And I hope you're able to join with us. Next week, it's going to be so exciting. I will no longer have to look at a camera any longer, just straight at a camera. I can actually look at people because we are going to be starting our evening service next week, and it'll be super exciting. I'll have some people interaction besides the sound crew, and it'll be. I'm just so pumped about it. So please be ready for that if possible. We will still be having the live stream going for those who choose to stay home, and we are not judging you for that. So if you choose to stay home, please continue to connect with us through the live stream so you could stay up to date on what we're doing through Job as we continue through that sermon series. Thank you so much for all this time staying involved with us and being connected. And there's all different ways that you can be connected, and those are increasing. And so we're very, very excited about that. So as far as that goes, let's go ahead and pray, and I'll jump into some more announcements. And then we got a song to sing together, Glory to His Name. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done here and allowing us to continue to open things up. And Lord, that you'd just be with us. Again, give us wisdom on how to do things, how to transition back into in-person. And Lord, just be with those that are still out and about and can't come in person. Lord, that you just help them, encourage them as they are staying home. And Lord, that we may encourage them as well to step into each other's lives and communicate and connect with each other. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the church that you've created here in Taylorville with all the people that are connected here. And Lord, we just ask you that you would continue to use us in a mighty way to be the light and the salt that we need to be in our community and around the world. God, we just ask your blessing upon this time as we look into Job and the difficult road that is ahead. God, that you just give an understanding, clarity to your word here as we study it and try to pull things out and apply them to our lives. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as far as our announcements go, lots of things coming up. As I stated, next Sunday we will be starting our Sunday evening service in person. But on July 5th, we will also be starting our Sunday school in person. And so we're excited to be able to jump into that. It will not be as normal yet. But we will be jumping into that. And you say, what about my kids? Were they were supposed to get promoted at some point? Yes, if they were supposed to get promoted, they'll still go back to their old classes for July 5th. But then July 12th, they will be moving on to their new classes if they are getting promoted. And so, and then we'll be having actually promotion Sunday on the 12th, and they'll get their certificates. So that'll be exciting to be able to do. But yes, we will be having Sunday school. The only thing that we were not going to jump into quite yet was nursery. And that's just because there's a whole nother load of things that we want to make sure that we have prepared before we jump into that. So yes, I have under 1 year old. I think it's 9 months now. She's 9 months. I think I'm supposed to be keeping track of that. And so she will be going with us to our Sunday school class. And so just please make adjustments. The kids will be separated in their classes to try to keep some social distancing. And then the adults, they can do that on their own. We don't have to make sure that you're all socially distant. You can do that on your own as you join your different classes. And so, and then another thing that we will not be starting up yet is the buses, okay? The church buses will not be going out to go get kids yet. We just don't feel that that's a step that we're ready to take at this point. So those are the things coming up. This week, Golden Prayer Warriors on Tuesday. The teen group is meeting together on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8. The midweek Bible study will still be online at 7 o'clock, but the youth group will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall at 6:30, and we usually enjoy a meal together. The activity for this Wednesday night is going to be decorating the fishing boat that we're going to be using in the parade, so that'll be exciting. We'll see all the creativity of our teenagers this Wednesday night. But then this Saturday we have the parade that's going to be, we need to be out there at the fairgrounds by 9 o'clock, and so if you can help me with that, that would be absolutely wonderful, to be able to toss things into the crowd, and maybe they'll even cheer for you as you toss things into the crowd because they're so excited to get what we've been giving them. But it's a big evangelistic reach with our VBS, and so we'll be handing out a lot of information about that coming up. Then there will be the 4th of July picnic that Saturday evening. We're going to be meeting out at the pavilion at 4, and then we're going to start eating at 4:30. The church is providing the meats and the drinks, and we just ask you to bring a side dish and side dish to share and a chair to sit on. And so please, if you'd like to do that, we would love to have you here, and there will be some games as well. Please be looking forward to our VBS starting on July 12th. And I know you say that's a Sunday, but we're going to be throwing out an intro video on the July 12th, and then we'll be starting the different days of VBS starting on that Monday on the 13th. And so please look through that. The registration is going to be online. We will be delivering the VBS kits once we get the registration in. And so you need to register online before you get all the information and to be able to pursue this VBS. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be different, but it's going to be awesome. We're really excited about that. And then also the quarterly business meeting, that was moved from the 12th to the 19th. So please adjust your schedules for that. That'll be after the evening service on the 19th. So please be ready for that, members. The other things is coming up that I just want to make sure you know about is the Branson trip, August 6th through the 8th. And there's a little at the back of the auditorium or in the lobby, there's a table that's got information on it. But it's got all the different things. This trip includes transportation to and from Branson on a charter bus, 2 nights in a hotel, 2 full breakfasts, tickets to Sight and Sound Theater, and lunch at Paula Deen's Family Kitchen. And so there's lots of things that's going on. So please sign up for that. The last day to sign up for this trip will be Monday, July 6th, and we need to fill about half of the bus here. So please sign up for that if you'd like to go along. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention was the couples retreat at Camp Joy. That's going to be coming up in October, but you just need to be prepared for that. And if you'd like to go, please reserve your spot. So lots of things coming up. If you'd like to be praying for campers that are going out to Camp Assurance, that would be wonderful. I believe Troy Burge is the only primary camper going out tomorrow. And so please be praying for him. And then it'll be junior camp and teen camp as well. So I believe that's it for all the announcements. Let's go ahead and sing a song, Glory to His Name.
All right, we'll begin with Down at the Cross, number 170. We'll sing all 4 verses tonight. All 4 verses, number 170. Join us on this first verse together now. Down at the cross where my Savior died.
Glory to His name. 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 Glory to His name.
right, let's go and turn to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12, and we'll be jumping right into that, and we'll be running through this passage here this evening. So Job chapter 12, and we're going to be going through chapter 14. It's going to be exciting, so put your seatbelts on, and hopefully we can get through this. If not, there's always next week, unless Jesus Christ comes back, and that would be so much better. And gee, you could just grab me up, and I'll go talk to Job up in heaven. So that would be great, and he could explain things much better than I could. But as we get into this, we're going to be talking about a shred of faith. And even though we've been talking about a couple equations here, where Job's friends, they are stating that, God is such and such a way, and the only reason that you would have these amount of trials come upon you is if you sinned, so therefore you are a sinner, and you've done all this wrong, so just repent and everything's going to be peachy, everything's going to be wonderful, you'll never have any problems again. And yet Job is confused because he states, listen, I never sinned to deserve this, or I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't living in a life of sin to get this trial, to lose just about everything. And he's crying out to God, hey, God, would you just speak to me? Would you just let me know what's going on? And yet he comes into this thinking that God was the one that aimed his sights on Job. And yet, as you read it, that's not what happened. And so even Job's equation is just a tad off. And when our equation is just a tad off, it can mess up a whole lot of things. I imagine that we could have Barry Burge give us a math equation where he could just change it up just slightly, or one little mistake, and he could show us this huge complex problem, and yet one mistake throughout this huge complex problem could mess up your answer in a massive way. Some of you would be excited about doing math, but some of you have just groaned because you dread math. So we won't get into that, but we'll just get into the equations here tonight. But I just want to give you a little tidbit of history. It's not that long ago history. In fact, back in 2016, there was a sniper shooting down in Dallas. And I don't know if you remember this. It was so long ago. Right. And yes, I was alive at that point. That was not too long ago. There was a protest that was going on in the midst of Dallas against police brutality. OK, and they were protesting police in general. I mean, there were all kinds of people going and protesting against this. And then all of a sudden, somebody started to shoot at people. It was a sniper. And from the notes that I had gotten, 5 police died in the midst of this this sniper shooting at different people during the protest. And I don't even want to give his name because I don't want to give this guy any sort of fame for this. I think it was horrific, but that's not really the point of what I'm trying to make here tonight. The thing is, as I was watching different videos of this sniper attack in the midst of the USA, I watched as those that were protesting against the police ran to get behind the police as soon as the shooting started. They cried out for help from the police who were there protecting their right to protest. And it hit me pretty hard at that moment how ironic it was, as they were protesting against the ones that were there to protect them, they cry out as soon as something tragic happens for help. And these policemen are helping them, trying to keep them alive. See, I'm not trying to get political here to open up a can of worms that all of a sudden, everybody's mad at me because I brought this up. But I just thought, in the midst of this, you see Job, who is stating that God is the one who is attacking him. In essence, he is protesting against him. And yet, when there are trials, what does God want us to do? Run to him. Depend on him. As we get into this, when times get crazy, where do you run? Or do you fight the one that you're supposed to be running to? Do you run in the opposite direction of safety? Do you run in the opposite direction of purpose? Do you run in the opposite direction of where your faith would turn you to? Let me ask you this. Are you ready for crazy? Say, what do you mean? I think Christians are getting, in the USA, are getting just a shred, just a tiny bit of the persecution that is to come. I honestly believe that we have got it extremely easy compared to those in history or those around the world facing so much persecution. Yes, persecution happens. Yes, people mock and make fun and ridicule and they try to take God out of everything and they try to make fun of God and they make shows up about how, Jesus could have been gay and all these things. And we get all upset and we get into a rampage and we think, oh, they're killing Christianity. Okay, but that's nothing compared to people being thrown into a gladiatorial arena for their faith or people being tossed off of a cliff for their faith. See, these are very tragic things, but where do you run when things get crazy? And are you prepared to live out your faith? Are you prepared to live out the name that you call yourself, Christian? Are you prepared to walk underneath the banner of our God in the midst of crazy? Or will you run in the opposite direction? As we get into this, we see where Job struggles as he responds to Zophar in the first round that he deals with Zophar here. And this is the completion of the first wave from Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. And he's responding to this. And he gives out an accusation here in chapter 12 and starting in verse 1. So let's go ahead and start here and see how he responds to Zophar. It says, "And Job answered and said, 'No doubt, but ye are the people. And wisdom shall die with you.'" Right? Because you're the only ones. Because they have so much wisdom to bestow on Job. And Job's doing it all wrong. It's almost like he's sarcastically coming in here and saying, "Hey, listen. You're the only ones that know how it works. And once you die, all this wisdom's going to die with you. Nobody will know how to maneuver life without you." Because they seem to know everything that's happening here. And so he goes on, he says, "But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these?" And so he's saying, I know these statements about God. I know them. But he also knows that their equation is incorrect. Because it's his life that they're talking about. And he's saying, I'm not inferior to you, which comes out as a side note. In talking about Job, it's how we respond in our trials, but it's how we also respond to others who are in trials and how we counsel them. And it's so easy for us to, in essence, to lord over those that we are trying to counsel because we want to get them back on track. So here, let me make you get back on track. I know exactly how to fix your life. And yet, the problem that we have is that we are not God. And so in that moment, we cannot know their thoughts. We cannot know every single aspect of what got them to that point. All we are getting is an outside perspective as we watch and encounter them or whatever they tell us. But you know what? I've noticed that what people tell me about their certain situations isn't always the truth. They leave out important things until you start to ask questions and those things start to come out. And what I've noticed is that a lot of times people always play the victim in the situation when they might not be the victim at all. But yet, I cannot lord over them as if I am God and state, well, this is your problem and we need to fix this and you're wrong. Everything that comes out of your mouth is just a bunch of vain wind here. Whoa. As we step back, we need to make sure that as we counsel others, and this is a temptation for everyone, I think. I think this really is a temptation because we think we have it all together because we're outside of the situation. But as we're looking in, and maybe we've had the same sort of experiences, but yet we don't know every single aspect. So please, we must not act as if we are God, and instead of lording over as if we are superior to someone, we must understand that we are equal to them. We're equal. And in Scripture, it says that we are supposed to be helping. And helping is not lording over. It's actually trying to get beside them and help them up if they are down. Or another term for this is exhortation. And then that term is to come alongside and to walk with. It's very different from lording over. And so as he's getting through this and he's mentioning these things, he says, listen, I'm not inferior to you. He says, I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calls upon God and he answereth him, the just upright man is laughed to scorn. So he says, here I am innocent of what you're stating here. And I've gone to God and I've asked prayer for certain things. And God has answered my prayer requests. And yet, you laugh me to scorn. Excuse me. You laugh me to scorn. You mock me. Those that are close to me mock me. And yet God has done some works in my life. He goes on in verse 5, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. You say, what in the world is that verse talking about? Well, it is very difficult and I had to spend a lot of time in trying to understand this. And maybe I don't understand it perfectly here, okay, but I'm going to try. He that is ready to slip with his feet. Okay, someone's who about to trip up. He hasn't tripped up yet. Okay? It's the same as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is ease. So is at ease. So someone who isn't having any issues, doesn't feel like he needs to prepare a lamp. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's give like a tiny little illustration here. When was the last time that you checked the batteries in your flashlight? Say, what do I need a flashlight for? Well, if your electricity goes out, is your flashlight prepared? Are you prepared to use your flashlight in the midst of the problems? See, a lot of times we don't check those types of things until the calamity has already happened. We aren't always prepared because we're at ease. It's like, there's nothing really happening here. I'm fine. So I don't need to do that stuff. I don't need to prepare for that stuff. It's kind of like when the coronavirus hit and everybody acted as if everything was going to continue to move upward with my finances, with my job, whatever it might be. Everything's in an upward trend. Everything's going to be beautiful. I'm not going to have any more problems. And so why prepare for that? So why don't I just go get some more loans because I need more stuff? And then all of a sudden the coronavirus hit and maybe they lost their job. And then all of a sudden their loans are becoming due and they're like, what am I going to do? How do you prepare for problems? Sometimes when we sit at ease, we despise the things that would cause us to work to get prepared for these issues. It hasn't happened yet, but how do we prepare? So that's why I asked in the very beginning, are you prepared for crazy? For out of your comfort zone, are you prepared for when things might go wrong? Because they will. When trials will hit, because he says, count it all joy when you are in various trials. So we know it's going to happen. How are we preparing? Are you ready? Are you ready to walk underneath the banner of God? Or are you just one of those that like to listen to the preachers who say, oh, as long as you trust in Jesus, everything will be easy here on out. You'll never have any problems. He's going to bring in the money. It's just going to be blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. You'll never have any issues. The sickness will disappear. I believe it's called the prosperity gospel, and it is very, very popular. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we just had Josh Wormley with us, who's a missionary over in Africa, and he says that's one of the biggest things that they deal with is the prosperity gospel. In fact, he just taught a course on the prosperity gospel and how to fend against it. So how are we preparing? Are we ready? As you go on, it says, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. And he's saying, it just doesn't make sense. Some of these people that are against God are actually getting blessed. He says, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? He's saying, go and ask creation and see what God can do here. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom and in length of days understanding. When you go to God, he's got it all. He knows how everything is in his hands. He's got the wisdom. He's got the understanding. It says in verse 13, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man and there can be no opening. So what's he's going to say in the next few verses? He's just going to lay it out. He says, if God's going to do something, it's going to happen. You cannot stand against him. Just as the other three guys have stated, they brought this up. They said, you can't go against God. And this is what he's stating here. He says, listen, if God wants to do something, it's going to happen. And I understand that. I totally understand all that God is. I'm not inferior to you. goes in verse 14, "Behold, he breaketh down and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out and they overturn the earth." If he wants to flood the earth, he could do it. He promised that he wouldn't. That's what the rainbow is for. He would never do it again. I don't know about you, but every time I see a rainbow nowadays, I get sick to my stomach. Want to know why? It's because so many people have destroyed what the rainbow means. And every time somebody sees a rainbow nowadays, the culture will tell you that it's Gay Pride Month. Do you know the rainbow was created to reveal a promise, a covenant that God made with mankind that he will not destroy the earth by flood again? Do you know, as we look forward to the what we call the end times, the earth will be judged again, not by flood, by fire. As we get into this, he's saying he could do all these things. He says, "With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his." Doesn't matter who you are, you're gods. People can call themselves atheists. It doesn't matter. Just because they believe there is no God doesn't mean that there isn't a God. God is real whether they believe it or not. As we go on, it says, "He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh judge fools. He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of the darkness and brings out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the darkness without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man." You say, what is all this pointing to? Our God is sovereign. Job knows that. He understands that. What he's struggling with is he knows that God can take everything away, and he hasn't. So he knows the truth that's right in front of him, but yet he's struggling with it. I'm going to go through verse 13 and close it out for tonight and jump into the rest of it next week. Where it says, "Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God." I just want to talk with God. I want to understand what's going on. I want to reason with him. You state that I've sinned and that's what I deserve, and yet I just want to talk with him. I just want to get an answer back. Have you ever been there? Have you ever asked that question? "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God, but ye are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. You're lying. You're a worthless doctor." How many times have you watched it to where somebody's crying out for a doctor, and they say, "Aren't you a doctor?" You know, the guy's bleeding out, and they say, "Aren't you a doctor?" And he says, "Not that. I can't fix that. I'm a doctor of psychology, or somebody gave me an honorary doctorate from some Bible college. I can't fix that." And this is where he's at. And he's saying, "Hey, listen, you guys are worthless doctors here. You're not fixing anything." He says, "Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. And this should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. If you just give me some peace. Just shut your mouth. just stop. You're not helping anything. Just be done. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for Him? Will you accept His person? Will you contend for God? Is it good that He should search you out, or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock Him? He will surely reprove you if you do so secretly accept persons, or there's partiality. You treat others better than you treat these people better than these people over here. You're going to be judged for this. Shall not His excellency make you afraid, and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, and let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. As we close this out, He's coming out, and He's just stating to them, listen, you would be doing better at just keeping quiet. No more trying to attack me. Hold your peace. Back off. He's saying, you think you're speaking for God? You think that you're going to contend for Him? Do you have to fight His battles here? God's going to judge you. You're showing me that you think that I'm inferior and you're superior over me. As we back up for a second, as we reach out to counsel and to help others, have we ever used God's name in vain in counseling? In helping? At times, I have probably done it myself. At times, when I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, but I have seen others do this. We beat other people up with the name of God. We use His Bible and we take it and we beat people with it. Rather than exhorting them and lifting them up, we're trying to control their lives, trying to make them change. And yet we're not helping at all. As we back up, and we see what's going on, and before we even jump into the rest of what's going on in these chapters in 13 and 14, let's back up and ask this question. Are we ready for difficult times? How we respond to them? Where are we running to? But as we counsel other people in these difficult times, how are we doing it? Are we acting as if we're superior? Are we beating them up when we're supposedly trying to help them? How are we responding in the midst of all of this? Who is the one who gains glory through all this? In my response, in my counsel, am I giving glory to God? Or am I ripping it away from Him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for all that You've done here, and skipping this passage, and yes, we only got through half of it, but Lord, You know exactly what's needed here. And Lord, just help it to be clear. Help us to follow Your word and understand the truths, the principles that You have on display. God, we truly do love You. Lord, help us to act it out, to be real. And we're helping others as we walk through our own trials. Help us to know truth, that it can set us free. God, again, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we respond to the sermon here tonight, we do have a call of action. I ask that you would pray. Take just a few moments and just lay it out to God and ask Him for help as you face trials. He would give you the strength to walk through those trials in the correct manner as you draw near to him, but as you counsel others, that you understand your place as another human being exhorting another human being. We are not God, but we should be seeking him in the midst of all of this. I trust that you'll be able to see the challenge and be called to that action here this evening. We'll talk to you soon.